I just have my feet anymore?
I just posted the picture on Twitter of Aiden, who looks like a sucker that has been finished. Because of his new hair.
Ludwig called me Carrot Top this morning. He made a long-winded joke about how I look like Carrot Top. I'm like, bro, it's not even fucking orange.
That's crazy because he's never even called me Carrot Top.
Yeah. So here I am, just taking L's.
That's awesome.
Welcome to the advice show. We're back. Here's some advice. Don't dye your fucking hair pink.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching. shit, bro.
Okay.
What? How you been, Aiden?
Shut up.
What do you mean? I wanna know.
What do you mean? How have I been?
I haven't talked to you in a while, man.
Don't ask me how I've been.
Why?
We're going to Florida tomorrow.
I'm not
going for Amaranth's event. And Anthony.
I'm going to Pennsylvania tomorrow.
No, you're not. You actually?
What? Yeah.
Oh, you I are. Am. You're going to that family reunion thing.
Yeah.
You looking forward
fucking
to it?
Fucking Pennsylvania, ain't it?
Christ. What was that?
You couldn't even
muster a Philly accent. I actually can't do a Philly accent.
That wasn't Philly.
Hmm?
I wasn't Philly.
I said you can't even muster a Philly,
Philly
accent. I don't know.
In my head, they're all New York.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. It's like every time I think about a Northeast accent, it just always becomes Boston.
It's either New York or it's like Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
Those are the two accents.
And then Philly is just an amalgamation of the two.
How do you like them apples? Cabba.
God, all I can think of is Always Sunny, but they only do a shitty version of the accent in the show.
All
right. Okay, well
let's get into
the first question.
Let's get right into my butt.
This is from Joaquin, who is 27.
Imagine.
And
Joaquin Phoenix, imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Asking us for help.
Joaquin Phoenix, 53, says, I'm really shaken up by my last superhero villain role, and I'm looking to psychologically recover. Me and my wife want to move to the City of Angels. We are financially fit and have 3 dogs. We currently rent and will probably continue to if we move. What are some cities to avoid? What are some areas to look into? What are your thoughts on someone from the Central Valley moving to the city? Love you guys. Thanks for whatever advice you can give. So I liked this question because we answered this question a long time ago on a different episode, but it was me and Anthony. And me and Anthony had like a very similar answer about moving to LA. And I was curious, as you're different than us. You didn't move here. You grew up here.
Uh-huh.
So I want your answer about
to where to live.
About would you recommend moving to the Los Angeles area and where to live in the Los Angeles area?
Oh, man. Okay. So I've lived in LA my whole life, and disclaimer, I fucking hate it here. I have a warped perspective on like value in living here and things like that. Like, I live here purely out of necessity, for my career and my family. But, in my head, the way that I like to think about this is, I kind of break it down into like, okay, so there's Los Angeles County, and then there's Orange County, and there's other counties around, like, you know, there's like the Inland Empire,
San Bernardino
County. There's San Gabriel Valley, Riverside County, I think like what sort of decides whether or not you want to live in LA proper or in one of these outside counties is based on the amount you want to spend to be alive in a place, the amount of congestion you're willing to put up with in exchange for nightlife, and how close to water you want to be. Those are like the main things, I think. And also, if you want things, I already said nightlife. Never mind. So for me, I've always tried to skew, like growing up and stuff. Not necessarily since being like a goddamn person with the microphone or whatever, but growing up, I've always tried to skew living outside of LA, in like a bordering county, because I prefer to like not have trouble parking near my house, and I prefer to like not have like a crazy amount of fucking people and cars all congested in one place, and there's lower crime rates, and there's low, you know, I just prefer like the quieter sort of place that is close enough to drive to LA, and I have never had the desire once in my life ever to live in LA. Now, if you do want to live in LA, it's kind of hard without knowing your budget, because it can rapidly change very quickly. I would still try to be like as far away from the hotspots as you possibly can. Like living like in Santa Monica or like in Hollywood and in Beverly, like these places, like it's miserable. It's so expensive. I don't actually even think they live up to being cool. Like they feel very touristy to me.
Yeah, unless financially fit means fucking insanely rich.
Yeah. It's like ridiculous. Like you know, a studio apartment out there can cost like $3,000 a month.
Yeah, it's fucked.
So I would suggest going further away from cities like that are like more western, like not super west, but like further away from like the Inglewoods and more north, like towards I think like Highland Park is really nice. You could even go to like Glendale or like La Cañada. Those places are super nice, and they're like Glendale's expensive, but like it's not quite as expensive as like the heart of LA, depending on where you go.
Wait, you could be like Pasadena or Burbank too.
Yeah, you could also go like, well, yeah, those are pretty far away from each other, but like you could do Pasadena, you could do Burbank.
They're like on opposite sides of Glendale.
Right? Yeah, but it's a pretty far distance. As someone who's lived here.
Don't know. That's the thing about you. You don't know these things.
Burbank is so much more north than people think it is. And
It's north. Burbank? Burbank's north? You would say that?
It's northwest, yeah.
Stans would disagree.
He's wrong. Dude, I'm so annoyed about that because I was so right. I was so right, but I was talking to two stupid people.
Who agreed with each other.
Who agree with each other. It's insane. Anyway. Yeah, I think it depends like what you kind of want. I think this question is ultimately like a bad question only because it doesn't have enough detail of like what you're looking for, in my opinion. Because you could live literally anywhere here and have a good or terrible time depending on like your style. Like I personally hate going to the beach. I would never want to live in a beach city because you pay like an insanely high rate to live near water that I wouldn't even utilize. But if you're someone who's like, I can't wait to live by the beach, then it's like maybe you could drift not necessarily L.A. Maybe you could try Huntington or you could try like Newport or like Long Beach. Long Beach is a place I actually think is like really cool that isn't in Los Angeles but still has a lot of like culture and nightlife and like good food and places to see and is still near water and isn't like ridiculously expensive. There's definitely more affordable places.
Go to Newport if you hate the libs.
Yeah, if you hate liberal people, you can go to Newport. You could smoke Newports too, if that makes you feel good. But besides that, I think like just try to think about how much do you want to spend? How close to water do you want to be? Do you want to be able to walk places? And if so, like if you like want, like you don't care about being near water, you want to not spend a super crazy amount or it's like a ridiculous super crazy amount and you want to be able to like you want your city to be walkable, I would stay away from the heart of Los Angeles and I would go closer to places like La Cañada, Montrose, maybe even Burbank, but Burbank's kind of boring in a lot of ways. Or go way south and go towards like some of the beach cities that are in like Orange County or some of like the bordering counties.
That's kind of what I was thinking, actually.
Yeah, like you could totally go live in a place like Irvine, like Costa Mesa, and really like it out there. I think honestly, you should look into like places like that as well, because they're not Los Angeles at all, but they still have like food and they're near. Like, oh, I would say one thing is try to live like somewhat near a college, because every time you're near like a major college, there's just a bigger influx of nightlife and things to do naturally. Because students just pour out and it's like a way to make money. Hopefully this was helpful. I fucking hate it here, so I'm not like really that helpful. And I also don't spend like a ton of time like leaving my bubble in LA. So that's just from my experience being here, like sort of what I have learned in the places I gravitate towards. I personally like to be not around so many people. I like to be around art and culture, and I like to be like places to feel walkable. I like things to be nearby to me, like things I care about, like fucking like rock climbing or whatever. But I would shoot myself in the fucking brain before I live on the 12th floor of an old hotel that's now apartments that cost me $3,000 a month And when I walk outside, a guy threatens to kill me. That is not where I want to be, personally.
Look, I think this rounds out. It's so funny. So we're basically 3 for 3 on LA sucks.
It does suck.
You know what's funny is I think the only person in the house that likes LA, like even a bit, is Ludwig. Now that I think about it.
He really just wants to live in Tokyo, dude.
But he wants to move to Tokyo. He wants to be Japanese.
He wants to be a Japanese man. He wants to get a surgery.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been Googling stuff at his desk, dude. It's a little weird.
Yeah. He's been Googling Asia doctor. Which I tried to explain to him.
I keep telling you.
Isn't what he wants.
Ludwig, don't do that.
Yeah.
That's like,
it's not going to do what you think it'll do.
It's not
going to
help you. It's not going to help you. But I think you have to evaluate like why you want to move out to LA, like what did you see is the actual appeal here, because I think unless you have a job opportunity here and you love the weather and you don't want to leave the United States, there's like no reason to be here. Honestly, like, what can you think of any reason to be here that's like not work related or weather related?
This is kind of related to all of this, but it also implies other things. But I think the perk of Los Angeles is there's infinite access to anything you want.
Yeah.
So
but
like there's not
a
thing in Los Angeles that doesn't exist.
That's true. I think there is that aspect where LA is just a gigantic city filled with people. So naturally, you can pretty much think of anything and find it. But I think that also applies in New York. So it's like you could be in probably like New York or some other like of the largest cities in the country and be in a somewhat similar position. So that's why I say like the weather part, like if you're not particularly attached to the weather part, I struggled to think of the reason that truly separates this location from all others. Because you could just be in New York and not own a car and take the subway everywhere if you didn't mind like it being cold.
Yeah, then you'd have cool subway stories like the people who live there.
Yeah, I love subway stories.
And whenever people are like, yeah, I got on the subway and this guy pulled a gun on my brain and I was like, this is the subway. It's always like this.
Yeah, and everybody just laughed.
Everyone laughed.
Because
like,
it's the
yeah,
subway.
It do be
ah,
like
that's
that.
A subway thing.
Dude.
Public
transport.
I'm not necessarily saying like there's no value at all, because I do think like being like enjoying the weather, enjoying like the culture that's available in LA definitely is like really, really cool. But I think it doesn't necessarily like outweigh the fact that this place is extraordinarily expensive and difficult to get around, and like not, I don't think it's like you will just like really struggle to find like walkable neighborhoods. It's difficult to drive places. Your rent is just going to be so fucking high.
A 5 mile drive is 30 minutes.
Oh, dude, it's so bad.
Yeah.
It's I think one thing I was thinking of is like if you're working remote, like if you're not working here or moving here for a job opportunity, and you're a remote worker and you don't care that much about like LA nightlife, and like you don't care about like restaurants being open super late, you don't care about like being able to find like concerts or activities in Los Angeles, I think a really cool place to live could be like Oceanside, maybe. Mm. Or like, you know, those small beach towns that Ooh. You're saying that are super far south.
I have golden advice, because they're financially well off.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what you want to do. You're going to want to go on Airbnb and you're going to want to plan an excursion where you get one Airbnb in like the Glendale area. You get one Airbnb in like maybe like Santa Monica or like Hollywood area, and then you want to get an Airbnb in like Irvine,
Torrance,
or like Costa Mesa, and you want to just feel out like those places.
Mm-hmm.
And just like literally do one trip to LA that lasts a week and like stay in each place for like 2 days, and feel out how different it is to be in places like that. Like every day leave your house and try to walk places.
Yeah.
Every day like look up like the nearest food and the nearest like things to do, and like what time things generally close, how far you are from the beach, how far you are from the mountains, like sort of look up all this information at any of these places, and I think you'll get a really, really good idea of like all the stuff we're talking about.
Yeah, tour around
and probably have like a better idea of like where you might want to live. Don't just blindly move here. It's the fucking actually it's the worst thing you could do. Blindly move. Everyone I know who has blindly moved to Los Angeles because like of a work thing or whatever, they always fall into this like thing where it's like, yeah, I moved here, but like my place is just like I have to park four blocks away.
Yeah.
And the day that I moved here, there was parking, and every day since there just hasn't been. I got fucked. Like, yeah. Just literally take a trip here and spend like more than one day at each place and like make an effort to do things that you care about, and you'll very quickly learn.
If you have a follow up in the Discord, I'd be super curious just what your general reasons for moving are, because that would kind of help flesh out the question and like whether or not I could genuinely recommend doing it or not. But if you're in a situation where you're working remote, you're not moving for a job, I would really suggest checking out other cities in the U.S. Like if you want to stay in the U.S. because like I think like Seattle is really dope. A lot of places in Colorado are really nice. I don't know, maybe Portland. It's like not that other places that aren't going to be expensive necessarily, but I think there's like really nice areas of the U.S. like in the West that you could just move to that are like way more walkable and nicer and a little cheaper, not necessarily a lot cheaper, that I think are really worth considering unless you're really attached to the sunshine and the beach and nightlife. But
I've been to Oregon and Washington, and I liked both those places more. I don't know if I could live there just because of my career goals, but as like a place to be and feel and talk to people, it just seems like everyone's like nicer and happier to be alive and wants to actually know you. And in LA, everyone is trying to walk around you or through you, and it's a very soul-sucking place to live.
I got a script to write, bro. I've got a script.
I've got a script to tell people.
And it needs to get finished.
I've got a script to tell people I'm writing.
Yeah. And I've been working on it.
And I've been developing it, and it's been a journey.
And this matcha's good.
I order every single day.
And I'm on Twitter.
Anyway, next question.
Okay. This person wants to remain anonymous. Hey guys, I'm a 21-year-old female who is in a five-year-long relationship with my boyfriend who is 22. For some context, we started dating in 2017, so we've grown up together over the years. We see each other about once a week since we live about an hour away from each other. We both still live with our parents, and we are both in college. I'm almost graduated, and I'm not entirely sure what grade he is in. Grade. It's an odd year to describe college, but... I have a full-time job while finishing my degree and also have a job lined up for when I finish. Congrats. I also have a good amount of money saved up so we can move in together after we graduate. He had a full-time job, which he changed to a part-time job so he could, quote, focus on school, even though he isn't even signed up for classes. I don't even know if he has completed his freshman year of college credit-wise. He's also little to no money in his bank account and has very bad debt.
Damn.
He didn't used to be this way until after I introduced him to Twitch and PC gaming. Ever since then, I feel like he is regressing. All he wants to do is play video games and watch Twitch, which I think is fine because I do the same. The only difference is that he doesn't have a balance between life and online. He spends so much of his money on video games it's gotten into the thousands, and he doesn't think it's a problem. I don't want to come off and sound like a bitch who hates her boyfriend because it's not true. I love him very much and want the best for him. I just want to stop feeling like his mom nagging him to get his life together. I have to do everything for him, and it's gotten to the point where he's asking for money and I have to pay for everything. The relationship has started to feel one-sided where I want to take things more seriously and he just wants to stay where he's at. We both have talked about getting married after we graduate for years, but I don't know if I want to do that anymore if I already feel like he doesn't have any goals or desires to be successful. I'm not sure what to do. I really would like a guy's perspective on this issue. Am I just being a bitchy girlfriend who just needs to relax, or is this something I need to address in a more serious manner with him? I don't want to break up with him. I just don't know how to fix this issue without offending him or hurting his feelings. Please help. Yeah, yeah.
You sound like you've been
gaslit. You sound like a real bitch.
You sound crazy.
God, I can't believe you have standards.
You always do this, too.
Yeah. Why do you keep doing this? I can't believe it's unfortunate that you have to ask that at the end, because I think the way you wrote this is like you're being extraordinarily reasonable. If anything, maybe too patient with him.
Assuming all this is true, yeah, you're being extremely reasonable. I think it's also a pretty good question, because like at the essence of it, if I could apply it to like anyone, it's just like my partner has not been showing aspirations of being successful or any sort of life plan, and it's also not making a lot of money, and that is weighing heavily on me because it makes me worried about my future with this person. And of course the answer is talk to him about it, but
yeah,
what to say?
I assume we're past that. Yeah. You know, everybody understands that the default is you have to talk to them.
Yeah.
You have to talk to them. So let's just assume we all understand that, and the directions that I feel like it's more interesting to talk about the directions the conversation could go in.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't fucking, if he doesn't change.
Yeah, I think, this is actually really tough. I think it would help a lot to like know way more about these people, but
yeah,
because I can say blanket things, but, I think the first thing is focusing on some of the more, like, if you approach this in a way that is too, like, you projecting what you think being smart with your life is onto him. So, like, that's what I mean by that is, like, if you approach it from an angle of, like, you're not thinking about school and you should be, he can very easily just say, like, I don't find school as important as you do. And it's kind of like a trump card because, like, whether or not you're right for like, the type of person he is, like, you kind of get to decide that stuff for yourself in life. Like, you kind of get to decide, like, whether or not you want to go to school, whether or not you, like, want to have a high-paying job. Those are things that, like, he gets to decide whether or not he wants to do, and you have to decide if it's someone that you can be with in a relationship. But if you approach it more from an angle of, here are the ways that your choices are negatively impacting me. Like, I've paid for this and this and this, and that is, like, taking away from my finances in a way that makes me uncomfortable. Then I think you have, like, more ground to stand on in the conversation because he can't just tell you you're wrong. Like, he can't just tell you, like, no, it's not weighing on you. All he can do is accept that, like, his choices are adding stress to your life in a way that he didn't want. And he has to decide if he wants to, like, correct that or not. What was I going to say? Oh, you made me forget, Aiden. You're sitting there. What would you? Oh,
I'm so.
Say.
I'm sorry. I'm important. Sorry that I did that.
It was important.
You're right. It's my fault now.
Talk while I think. Talk while I think.
I think bringing up, presenting the issue not as something of like, well, like, where are your goals? What is, like, what are you doing with your life?
Oh,
which is
I remembered.
Very targeted.
Before I forget. Let me say it.
Fuck you,
before
Nick.
I forget. So, I think, like, something that's like, maybe will come off as more supportive and less judgmental is if, like, you say, like, these are the current ways that I'm supporting you financially. And ultimately that would be okay if I felt you were working towards a goal, because I want to be able to, like, you know, support you and enable you to, like, follow an idea or a dream you have, like, while you, like, you know, if that requires a period where you're making less money. But because you're not doing that, not you, I'm talking from your perspective.
Then this period could just be indefinite.
Yeah, this period could just be indefinite, and I don't want to live like this forever. And a big part of for you in a relationship and a big thing you require from your partner is independence financially and their ability to support you when you need it, and like be able to return that favor if need be. And he does not seem like to be on that trend at the moment. And I would sort of frame it that way, because it seems like, one, it aligns with how you actually feel. And two, it's a very rational way to look at the situation. And it also is not like saying it's not coming from an angle of like you ought to be making different decisions in your life. It comes from the angle of you and I are in a relationship and this is what I seek out of my relationship. And if you can't like fulfill these things, then I don't think we can be together. But I support you in like doing whatever you want with your time and your life. It just you have to understand how I feel about it, because if you want to be with me, these things need to matter to you. Because he can't really say shit to that. All he can say is, well, this is who I am. And then you can go, okay, well, it's time to sort of rethink the relationship. That's like the worst thing he can say. Or he can say, like, that makes a lot of sense. I'll look for, you know, I'll start thinking about blah, blah, blah. And I think you can also, like, try to help him in any way. I think what I wouldn't do is being a guy, because you're asking for a guy's perspective, I don't think I would try to, like, passively approach this problem. I wouldn't try to, like, how do I put this? Maybe if you're like more afraid of causing an argument, you might like tiptoe around this kind of stuff and be like, hey, is there anything that like you've been thinking about like work-wise? And like you say stuff like that, that's more passive and and it sort of leaves him to sort of fill in a lot of gaps in his brain that maybe don't represent how you feel like truly, where he's like, why is she judging me? Why is she this? What does that even mean? Is she like, and I think that just being a guy, sometimes it's really easy to get like defensive of these ideas, and that can kind of distract from like your ultimate goal. It might be better to just be really direct, because even if it sort of makes him sort of upset or like feel even a little bit attacked, it's really important that you're pointed and direct, because I think it'll leave nothing up for interpretation on his end.
Yeah, and if he's defensive or hurt by that, I think it's easy to say, like, hey, this is a, like, as long as you're kind of soft-spoken about it, you know, I'm not saying this to, like, hurt or, like, insult you or get one over you or something. I'm bringing this up because I just want to work through it, and I want to find, like, a solution. And expressing that, it's like, and not backing him into a corner, I think is a really helpful thing, because you're bringing it up for the first time, presumably, right? And this isn't a thing, and you can kind of use that on your side. It's like, no, I just want to bring this up so we can, like, talk about it and work through it. And, you know, I want things to be better. Like, I want things to work out between us. And I think there's, like, don't let him kind of wield the fact that he feels hurt by you bringing up problems very neutrally against, like, progress of fixing the issue.
And I think, yeah, at the same time, like, while not letting him wield that as, like, a weapon, hearing him out when he sort of, like, baby dumps how he feels about what you're saying, and sort of, like, being, like, not necessarily argumentative, but being, like, understanding that, like, he's probably just in a position that, like, a lot of people his age are in, where
doesn't
it's
know
just
what to
like
do.
He's just directionless and doesn't really know what he wants. And what's immediately very easy to do is just play video games and consume media and
dopamine.
Yeah, dopamine. And that is, like, obviously something that needs to, like, eventually correct. But but he's in a position that so many people are in that, you know, ultimately there's some understanding there that, like, this isn't, like, a one-off thing where he is just, like, very intentionally falling behind. I think he just probably doesn't really know what he wants to do. And I think that the best way you can help him is, like, try to help him find stuff and try to, like, encourage him or enable him to do things that are conducive to that goal, and not necessarily tell him things like, you know, video games are a waste of your time and shit like that, because it just, like, that's never going
to work. Help people. It doesn't help people progress. Hearing out his perspective too might let him share something with you about maybe, like, his mental health or his ability to focus. Like, I don't know, maybe he has ADHD or something, like, just stuff that inhibits his ability to, like, move forward in life that he's able to explain to you, and then you're able to help him, like, well, let's talk about, like, working through that, right? And as long as you can help him arrive at, like, a path to work through, like, the problems that are inhibiting him, then you have something to sort of gauge his willingness to fix these issues and, like, gauge his progress. I think something important here is, like, leaving this conversation with an understanding of how he's going to fix things in the future, so that you can kind of gauge whether or not how seriously he's taking the issues that you've raised, so that if, like, he hasn't worked on anything and you guys talk about it again, like, a month from now, you can kind of, like, press a bit more. And then if he does start working on things and he starts to get better in certain aspects of the way, like, becoming kind of the person you expect him to be, then you've, like, clearly outlined, like, the criteria in your own head for what that, like, success looks like. I think, unfortunately, you know, a likely scenario here could be that he says he understands and says he needs to change and then doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
And I do think that's unfortunately pretty common, just, like, anecdotally. And in that case, it's like you need to personally gauge where you draw your line. Like, how long can this person continue to kind of, like, you know, suck my resources and time and, like, love from me without giving anything back?
I would keep that timeline private.
Yeah, and do not set, like, an ultimatum. Don't, like, set, like, this weird, like, public. It's like you gotta have everything fixed by fucking September 22nd.
But I would think about a timeline for yourself.
You should think about, like, how you define that. Like, where is, like, your line that if he crosses it and doesn't put any effort into fixing these issues, like, where are you going to cut it off? Because I think something important is, like, you protecting and, like, doing what's good for yourself if the other person isn't willing to put the legwork in to fix things, which I know can be really hard if you've been together for so long. Because, you know, ripping off the Band-Aid and, like, going into a new era of your life like that is really, really challenging, even if problems exist in the relationship. So, yeah, I'd think about that, too.
Yeah, but this sounds like so many boyfriends right now.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of 22
after year olds. Quarantine and with the explosion of online gaming and Twitch and stuff, like, I feel like so many people are probably in your shoes right now. I can't imagine it's easy to navigate, because this person is, like, unmotivated and doesn't have, like, a pure goal they're working on, doesn't mean that they're, like, inherently, like, worthless or not like not fun to be around or don't love you. So I think I would like, you know, I would also like try not to make like a mountain out of a molehill, and like instead of like talking to him like this is like you need to like know what you're gonna do with your career like soon, right? It's like you can't really expect that of anyone. I think what it's more productive is like try to get him going on solving issues like one by one. Like if he's like, well, I just don't know what I want to do. It's like, well, why don't we try doing something together and see if it's something that you like? Or like, why don't you try to like reach out and have a conversation with one of your friends that is in a better position and just talk to them about it and see if you can get any good advice, and like just start with like simple tasks and then support him accomplishing those tasks however you can and however he's willing to let you help him. And you have to get to a point where if he's like against you helping but also won't do it himself, and you reach a point where it's too much for you as a person, like you have to make a hard decision, which is just, I don't know if this relationship can continue. And you also like don't necessarily want to like end up in this spot where it's like you do decide you want to leave, and then all of a sudden he like panic mode is like, I'm gonna get a job, I'm gonna do this, because like if it's not important enough now, then it's not gonna ever be important like after you break up or whatever. So I wouldn't like get pulled back in by that kind of behavior. I would just, once you get to your breaking point, like just decide that you're gonna move on.
I got another question. I got the next question.
Yeah, the next. Well, now, good luck, Anonymous. I hope you figure it out.
Good luck. This person also wants to be anonymous. 19. I have a very close relationship with my grandmother, who throughout my childhood took care of me multiple times per week and every summer up until I moved away with my parents when I was 11. She raised me as a Baptist Christian, and I'd gone to church every Sunday and even had been baptized before I left. She has strong feelings about religion, as she has gone through many tough times and always turned to prayer and gotten through them. As I've moved away, I've drifted towards now being atheist. She's unaware and frequently asks if I've read the Bible, to which I always respond that I have, which is a complete lie. From talking to my dad, her son, he's told me that she truly believes in her heart that I will burn in hell if I do not accept Jesus, and this really hurts me. I've never told her that I no longer believe in God, and it's very hard to bring myself to do so, as she has told me on many occasions, you know, I don't have a lot of inheritance money to give you. My inheritance to you is your faith. I love my grandma very much, and I cannot imagine making her, damn grandma, I'm also bread. I'm sorry.
I don't mean the body of Christ, grandma.
I love my grandma very much, and I cannot imagine making her feel like the substitute for her life's work was a waste. Should I tell her at all? I'm so scared of breaking her heart, and I don't feel that this will do much good other than to get it off my chest, which ultimately feels selfish. Okay.
My take is extremely based.
You got a base take?
Yeah.
What the fuck is your base take?
She's going to die not knowing. And that's probably the best strat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the wave that I'm on. I think with these things, there's sort of this like question of how much does living your truth to everyone around you and especially those you love, like mean to you? And I think this varies by the thing. By the person, like this has a lot of variance in it, right? Like I think like a weirdly similar thing is like, you know, people come out with like their sexuality, right? And like that could be like a pretty controversial thing within a family, especially a religious one. And I never really did it. Like I talk about it like pretty openly. Like I talk pretty openly about my sexuality in like the form of the podcast, for instance, right? But I never came out to my family, except for my parents. But I never talk about it with like the rest of my family. Never like formally announced it. And I think like under like scrutiny or pressure, like I wouldn't like hide it. Like I would be open about it. But I never felt the obligation or pressure to like tell those people. In a similar way, like I probably would have never formally told my parents that I like wasn't religious anymore, but I ended up having to tell my mom that I like didn't want to get confirmed in like the Catholic Church, because she was pressing me about going to classes like when I was 18 so that I could get my confirmation. And I don't think these situations are one-to-one where, like, your grandmother clearly is a lot more invested than I think my parents ever were, who were, like, fairly religious and it mattered a lot to them, but not to this degree, I would say. I wasn't getting, like, Bible checked. which is this is pretty hard.
Oh,
hardcore.
You like Jesus? What are your favorite songs?
To be totally straightforward, like a quote, like, you know, I don't have a lot of inheritance money to give you. My inheritance to you is your faith. Like, even though we laughed, I think, like, that's a pretty hardcore statement.
Yeah.
Like, it's a reflection that your grandmother, like, cares so much. And I think part of these things, it's like, you understand that you, like, telling this truth to your grandmother would fracture your relationship with her. And I'm not saying that's fucking fair. I don't think that's cool. I think ideally your grandmother is open-minded enough for you to be able to share that with her and her to be okay with it, right? Because we live in a fucking world of 7 billion people who don't all believe the same goddamn thing. But it sounds, from the way you've described, it's like she's pretty old. This means so much to her. It probably personally weighs on her. It would probably personally weigh on her if you told her you didn't believe in if you didn't believe in God. She now, like, in my mind, the way you've described it is like you tell her that and she dies with, like, regret.
Yeah.
You know, which is pretty hefty, because she shouldn't have to do that. I don't think, like, anybody, like, I don't think it's fair for her to feel that way, but I also think it's, like, a likely circumstance, right? And it's one of those situations where you, like, sort of have to evaluate and take into consideration, like, other people's feelings of versus, like, the value of you living your truth to everyone around you. And that's not to say it's, like, that's not important enough to, or, like, warranted enough. Like, if your ultimate, like, sense of value is to be completely transparent and truthful with the people who are closest to you in your life, then tell her. And, like, but you have to be ready to accept the consequence of doing so. You can't, like, because there's no walking it back, right?
There's no
walking it was
back.
Once you've done it, it's done.
She'll always question.
And you just need to gauge, like, how personally important it is to you for you to share that. And I think in religious circumstances, like, unfortunately, I think there's just so many cases where the person on the other end is just unwilling to compromise or accept or change. And you have to kind of, like, I think there was a really early advice episode where Nick called one of his best friends from high school, who's a Muslim, and because we were providing advice about whether or not, like, one of our fans who's Muslim, like, should tell her mom, like, what she's up to that would, like, basically violate aspects of the Islamic faith. And Nick's friend was like, yeah, bro, like, we all fucking lie. Like, that's, you just have to. And I think this might be a similar situation where it's just in everybody's best interest to, like, not tell her the truth. And I know that fucking blows. Like, it doesn't feel good to, like, have to lie to people, right? But I think there are circumstances where it's, like, warranted and important to do so. Because unless you're either this is important enough for you to share, or you're somehow confident that you can change your grandmother's opinion after her 80 years on earth, which, if I had to guess, is a long shot.
No fucking way.
Yeah. And I get by on these things by, like, you know, the few adults in my life who are like this. I just don't wave around the things that would piss them off in their face, because I've accepted the fact that I'm probably not going to get them to be able to change on it. Because shit like religion is just so innate, it's really hard to peel back the curtains on it. Like, me and my dad can, like, delve into, like, an economic or political issue that's, like, maybe heated, right? But I can, like, maybe spit some fucking facts that gets him to change his mind. But with religion, dude, it's, like, it's not based in anything, like, concrete. It's, like, it is literally
faith.
Yeah, it's faith and belief. And your ability to turn that is just, like, so, so much lower, even if you're, like, a very charismatic person, right?
And with someone who's her age, dude, no one who is her age and very spiritual will ever change their minds.
Yeah,
they are as connected to it as, like they're positive that oxygen is how they breathe. Like, that's how they think about it. And so there's just no reversing it at this point. And I think it's, like, I agree pretty much with everything Aiden said. It's, like, how I feel about it, but I think just generally.
I wonder what she thinks about the 6 billion other people that don't think the same way that she does.
Or the fucking 30 other religions that all have almost the exact same origin and story and timeline and just happen to all be different. Generally speaking, I think it's something I learned from one of my old professors was, like, generally, like, small lies are not something that you should feel guilty about, so long as they aren't like deceptive in a way that could potentially harm someone. And is the ultimate goal of them is to like keep people happy and like avoid unneeded tension in your life.
I think I think my barometer for lying basically comes because I consider myself like a pretty honest person, and the grounds that I lie on usually has to do with the consequence. Like, if I do not lie, if I choose to tell the truth, what are the consequences for other people? And to me, that's this situation where, you know, I could be in your position and probably comfortably tell my grandmother about my lack of like religious belief because that's like my conviction. And I don't really feel bad about like the consequences to me, maybe. Like, maybe I could get over the fact that it fractures my relationship with that person so I could, like, live my truth. But you know what is something I would feel bad is if my grandmother, like, was on her deathbed, regretting the life she had lived because of, like, what I had told her. And, like, yeah. That wasn't a decision that she got to make. Or, like, a smaller example of this was, like, semi-recently, like, this is, I don't know, maybe, like, fucking 5 months ago or something. I lied to a friend I lied to a friend on behalf of another friend, because it was not my like secret to like reveal, and it would put the other friend in harm's way. But me lying would do very little, or me telling the truth would do very little to like benefit me. Like, I would be telling the truth for the value of being honest,
yeah.
And like for no other benefit to myself. It didn't improve or hurt my relationship with that other person at all. So me choosing to be honest in that scenario only hurt someone else and did very little to benefit like myself or my relationships or anything like that. So it's like, if I'm going to choose to be I think choosing to be honest there for the sake of honesty is sort of choosing to be selfish in that scenario. And that's kind of like the little gauge I use to like judge whether or not a lie is acceptable.
Because in her eyes, right? Like, if you tell her that you are atheistic now, she's like, okay, well, you're gonna burn in hell, and like she truly believes that. But in your perspective, like, you don't believe that. Like, what if the circumstances were a little different? Well, let's say you were telling your grandma that you are going to go to Home Depot, and in your grandma's eyes, Home Depot is a cursed place, and if you go there, a grand piano falls in your head. And you know for a fact she fucking believes that with all of her heart, and she's avoided Home Depot her entire life because of this.
Yeah, and you just cause her a bunch of like agony, like,
you
and
know
stress.
That's not, you know, to you, like, your truth of that is like, that's not going to happen. Like, I find that to be silly, ridiculous. And even if that is the case, I can't control
and
it.
And you could just
like,
fucking go to Home Depot without
it's
saying
like,
anything.
I just need to go to Home Depot no matter what. So yeah. So I can't control it. So it's like, in that world, are you gonna tell her, hey, I'm going? It's like, why? You don't believe in her premise has like any ground, and you don't believe like you're really in any true danger that you can avoid. But in her head, it's just going to bring her like insane stress and anxiety and like worry about you that you can't control in like sort of the last years of her life.
Yeah,
I think it's just better to just like make peace with the fact that you're not lying in a way that is like deceptive or like sinister. Like, you're just protecting her from information that isn't like leading her astray or down a path that it's going to be worse for her. Like, you're just trying to protect her, and have her feel like she, like, you know, her granddaughter is like going to go to heaven and be saved or whatever. Which is like something you have to do for someone who is just that religious, especially at her age.
Yeah.
That's my thing. I think telling her is just not a good idea.
All right, well,
yeah.
Do you have time for a last one?
Yeah, I can do a last one.
Okay, I think this one's pretty quick anyway. Okay, so this person's Alex. They're 27. I was pretty tech-savvy in school, but I never had any real ambition. I started doing drugs as a teenager and dropped out of school when I was 18 and started to do some small-time credit card fraud.
Oh,
I was
wow.
not very successful, so instead, I started a burner phone business. I bought crazy cheap phones in bulk with fake identities and then sold them to local drug dealers for a small profit. Some people wanted to pay me in Bitcoin, so I had some 60 Bitcoin by 2013, worth about $600 back then. Holy shit, man.
Wow.
When BTC took off that winter, I sold most of it for about $55,000. Oh, that makes sense. Because that's when it like, that's when it blew up to like 1,000. Okay, I remember that. I spent a bunch of that on drugs, expensive gifts for various friends and girls, and also got a new car. A few weeks later, I crashed that car into someone else's who called the police. Of course, I was stoned out of my mind and had drugs and a friend's gun in the car. So I was charged with possession of controlled substances, unlawful possession of a firearm, and a DUI, and got sentenced to 4 years as a first-time offender. When I got out in 2018, I was clean and decided to turn my life around and never look back. So I got a job in a small computer shop, saved up some money, and started a small online business during the pandemic. I'm doing okay, I can pay my rent, and I have a loving girlfriend, but I still have close to 8 Bitcoin that no one, not even my girlfriend, know about. I got very close to selling it when it first hit 30K early last year, but I decided against it because it felt like I was back in the day doing some shit that got me into trouble. I told myself that I could ignore it for another year. If I could ignore it for another year, I would have proven to myself that I don't depend on it. Now a bit more than a year has passed and I'm unsure about what to do. It's 220 grand as of today, just sitting there for almost a decade. Should I keep the money? Should I donate it? Should I just throw the wallet away? What would you do?
Bro.
Okay,
this guy's life is crazy.
Yeah, this is fucking wild, dude. This is why I wanted to include this question, because I actually think the answer, like, my advice to you is pretty short. Fucking keep the money.
Absolutely.
All you have to do, in my opinion, it's like, I think it's totally fine to keep this money. First of all, if you're wondering about the ethics of how you purchased it, I mean, maybe you could argue that you, like, were a cog in the broader, like, drug trade and war. It's like, that is like the worst version of how I can depict you. But to me, you're like selling phones in like the world of illicit substances. Like, that's not a big deal. Personally, I think that's like pretty fine.
The credit card fraud is a bigger deal.
Credit card fraud, bigger deal. Yeah. Well, no, the money's not from the credit card.
No, I know. But yeah. I think what he's doing is he's attaching the money to a lifestyle he used to live.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
Like creating this like symbolic tie between that and like, sure, what it would mean to like inherit the value.
Yeah. Okay. With that in mind, it's like very obvious that you've turned your life around. It's very obvious you live like a very different life than you used to. And I think you should, you know, you earned this money all that time ago and you know you're not going to use it in like a negative way now. Use it to like, you know, strengthen your future now and like continue to live a better life. How one big thing, just make sure it's all legal now. Make sure you pay your taxes on it when you sell it. Make sure you pay your fucking capital gains tax that you will have to pay. Maybe it might even be worth it to talk to a lawyer to make sure you do this right, because I don't know about like the way you acquired the Bitcoin and how that works with like tax law now. Just be careful about it, right? Like, make sure that the way you utilize the money now is in a legal way that doesn't like potentially harm you down the line. I think that's for starters. And then if you still have some sort of ethical hang up about this, I think it's kind of not shitty, but I think it's a waste for you to just let it sit there and do nothing. I definitely would recommend donating it if you do not want to use it for yourself, because that money's just sitting there that could be utilized in some way, right? And maybe you don't even donate it to a charity, right? Maybe you just allot it in this like little fucking savings account that you have that you give out to fucking like mutual aid organizations over the course of the next decade or something, and do something like very direct and substantial with it. I think that would be super cool. But personally, if I was in your spot, I would like legally cash the money out if I wanted it now, or hold it if you expect Bitcoin to rise, and then sell it and keep it for yourself, because you earned it all that time ago and you very clearly moved on from that life in the past. And I don't think the way you acquired the Bitcoin was like particularly unethical. So that's my take.
I would say, like, if you really want to nay-nay on your former self, like, the way you don't do that is just like stuff all the skeletons in the closet, aka like just get rid of it all and delete it all. I think you just invest, like, you cash it. I don't think you leave it sitting. I think if you leave it sitting, you're gonna leave it sitting forever. I think you cash it. You pay all the taxes on it, you do it properly, potentially get a helpful lawyer, and then you invest it in the new future that you want to live. Like, you recognize your mistakes. You clearly recognize, like, the ways that you went wrong and the ways you don't want to align yourself with. But once that is cash, it doesn't mean you have to spend it the way you used to. It doesn't mean that it has to, like, turn you into Bugs Bunny meme, dude, the old you. Just invest it in...
Put it in a Vanguard fund or something. It just doesn't have to, like, you... I don't think you should treat it as this, like, separate entity is the main thing. You could even keep it as Bitcoin in the wallet if, like, that is what you think is, like, most financially sound to do. I think it's just separate this idea that it's, like, it is bad for you to touch it because you've clearly, like, structured your life in a way that I think you deserve to, like, benefit from it now.
Yeah, I think, like... It's just really, it's really important to separate, like, who you were from this money, because ultimately, although you clearly acquired it doing something sketchy, it's not representative of who you are now. And what's more important is that you, like, truly believe that you've, like, learned your lessons, and then you can use this money to invest in your future and invest in, like, the type of person you want to be instead of throwing it away. Because I think, like, you know, a big part of falling into circumstances like getting into drugs and money comes from your life circumstances, comes from how well off you are, comes from positions you're in. And I think if you really want to set yourself up to, like, not fall back into a cycle, it's like maintain your financial stability of all things.
Fucking make sure that your kids have the best life possible. Don't even, like, think about it as being used on you if you're going to have
just
kids.
Just convert it into other value for your life that, like, maybe isn't directly yours, but, like, isn't wasted. I think, for sure, don't just leave it there, and don't just fucking throw it away, or, you know, just make it disappear. I think just invest it in your life and who you want to be.
Yeah. I think that about wraps us up. Because you got a piece.
I do have to go.
Cool question, by the way.
That's
fucking wild question.
Yeah, that's like the most interesting little sub story we've had.
Nick Allen seething at that one.
Why?
Because you ever seen that Nick Allen tweet?
Yeah.
Like 2012, 2011.
Dude, it's brutal.
Oh, God, it's so funny. There's a great Nick Allen tweet about Bitcoin. If you go look in the archives.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Advice Show this week. We're ending a little early this time, 9 minutes. But you know what? You can fucking deal with it, all right? Because I'm sorry. I didn't mean to yell at you. Hey, next time we'll go an extra couple minutes. Actually, no, last week.
Last week we went hour 10. We're good.
We're even.
We G.
All right, everyone.
See you guys later.
And have a nice day.